unifying language, address. The German word is even, I think it says more from the sound. Dann kommen Schlacken hervor, eine Schlacke. I think you hear from the Schlacke. Schlacke means it's something unwanted. The sound is unwanted. Schlacke. So that comes. So in other words, when you come into sorry. When you come into a situation which is requiring you to get out of your normal comfort zone, and which is even a little austere, like you have to rise earlier and you have to share your space with people you don't know, and which you don't necessarily would count as these are my type of people, you know. When you come into this when you are exposed to the higher temperature of what goes on in a retreat, it's called austerities, huh? Then some reaction is there in your personality. What happens is that the more unwanted things come up and assemble on the surface, and what you feel is some discomfort. I've noticed this as a member of the monastic order in our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. I'm now practicing this. Soon I'm in my 50th year. That's half of 100. I plan to be 100 years in Krishna consciousness. So in this body. So I have seen sometimes in our devotees, as they really make a sustained effort, that means an effort over some period of time, what I've seen is that some unpleasant things come up. They become envious on each other. They become they even make politics. That happens, talking bad behind a person's neck, make some maneuvers. In other words, unpleasant things come up. They will even become angry at each other at times. Now, this what it means is the process works. The gold is getting exposed to temperature, and now the Schlacken come out. You know, the dark sides in our personalities, which we do not really appreciate very much, and which we certainly don't want the world to know that they're there. Certainly, we hide them behind a sophisticated smile. But this may not always be the best way to deal with them. It is a better way to confront them and to see how we can dissolve them by certain spiritual practices. So what I just, let me come to the main point here is, when you come into the association of devotees, it's not everything is not immediately bliss and happiness and sunshine and smiles with perfectly white teeth and so on. This is not really even the desired effect. The desired effect of associating with devotees is purification of the heart. And whenever you clean some type of dust, dirt even, will show up. Good. Let it show up more and let us remove it wisely. No? So it's clear to me, as someone who has given many, many retreats, that not always every day the experience is that of a white-toothed smile, that is a presentable external thing. No, we feel tired, that is a sign our mind is not so comfortable, we feel, oh, why did I come here? I'm always too optimistic about the Hare Krishna movement. And, you know, we go through things. Good. Let it cut a little deeper. Then, finally, our long-standing rebellion against Krishna, our unexplainable rejection of the Lord will come out to the surface, and it can go. I just wanted to introduce you to this concept with the idea to encourage you to go through your retreat and accept in toto what comes up for you. In toto means in totality, accept everything. Good. Maybe I'm just telling this because I got a little thing in the voice. No problem, no problem. We have survived near-death experiences, no problem at all. But still I'm asking, is there another, Mano, maybe today we can just close this window and experience the openness of that window in full blast. Jaya Radha Madhava. Kunyavihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunyavihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunyavihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varada Ri Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varada Ri Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varada Ri So Janandana Braja Janandana Yaso Janandana Braja Janandana Namunatira Vanachari Namunatira Vanachari Namunatira Vanachari
Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rama,
We will read this morning, and now I have to be a little bit faster from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'm missing the text here, the book, but I think I can start already. Krishna, one moment. Se toma hana, Krishna toma hana. Oh, Krishna, I'm so tired. I forgot the verse. Here, no, it's here. Prabhus. Ogya, done. Krishna toma hana yadi bala bale eka bara. Maya banda hoite Krishna tore kare para. Maya banda hoite Krishna tore kare para. Krishna tomar hana yadi bale kabara. Maya banda hoite Krishna tare kare para.
Maya banda hoite Krishna tare kare para.
Krishna tomahana yadi bale ekabada. Banda haite Krishna tare kare para.
Maya banda haite Krishna tare kare para.
someone else.
Krishna tamara hanaya di bhave kabara.
Krishna tamara hanaya di bhave kabara.
Maya bandha hoite Krishna tare tare kara.
Maya bandha hoite Krishna tare tare kara.
Krishna tamara hanaya di bhave kabara.
Mataji's, please.
Krishna tamara hanaya di bhave kabara.
Krishna tamara hanaya di bhave kabara.
Maya bandha hoite Krishna tare kare para.
Maya bandha hoite Krishna tare kare para.
I thank you very, very much. There is no purport to this particular verse, but I do remember there was a wonderful purport about the subject matter, which I would like to read to you, at least in some detail. I'm really sorry, I should have prepared this. Do you know this in life? You try to look something, you know it's there, but when you look at the place where you know it's there, it's not there. So. Yeah, here it is. Good. Please allow me to immediately go to the text itself. One is immediately freed from the clutches of Maya if he seriously and sincerely says, "My dear Lord Krishna, what I will say now to you, I really mean." That is not in the verse, that's what I'm saying. "My dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today I'm surrendering unto you. I'm your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service." Prabhupada is saying on the subject of surrendering to Krishna completely, when there is light, there cannot be darkness. When a living entity becomes Krishna conscious, he is immediately relieved of all material lusty desires. Lusty desires and greed are associated with rajas and tamas, or passion and darkness. But when one becomes Krishna conscious, the modes of passion and darkness immediately vanish, and then the mode of goodness, sattva, guna, remains. When one is situated in the mode of goodness, he can actually make spiritual advancement and understand things clearly. This position is not possible for everyone. When a person is Krishna conscious, he continuously hears about Krishna, thinks about him, worships him, and serves him as a devotee. If he remains in Krishna consciousness in this way, the darkness of Maya certainly will not be able to touch him. So, Srila Prabhupada speaks here about something which is very relevant to this verse. We have been for a long, long time in inner darkness. Inner darkness is more problematic than the outer darkness, which we can dispel by street lights or in our homes by good lamps. The inner darkness cannot be dispelled by electricity, nor can it be dispelled by the sun and the moon and the fire. The inner darkness has to be dispelled by Lord Krishna. The Bhagavad Gita gives us a beautiful analogy. It says the Lord in the heart lights a torch, a torchlight. When he actually sees that a devotee turns to him, then he, the Lord, is removing this inner darkness. And where there is light, the light of the Lord is shining in the heart, that torchlight of knowledge which he holds in his hand, then there is no inner darkness any longer, which is created by the modes of passion and darkness, no? The rajas and tamas. So, but this inner darkness is a problem. It remains a problem even when you enter the spiritual path. And the way it is dispelled is really by what we have made the subject matter of today's retreat day. It is by becoming aware that in my truest being, I actually have a forgotten relationship to revive. It's the relationship with Krishna. We all know at times when we are in trouble that there are certain persons who can help us to come out of trouble. For instance, when we are in at serious health trouble, we might remember, wow, I heard about this good doctor who has great success in removing cancer. And then we have heard about him, then it's time to enter a relationship, to make a phone call, maybe to his office, to secure an appointment, and then finally to sit before the doctor face to face and tell him where your trouble is. The same is with Krishna. We all conditioned souls have heard about Krishna. There is the Lord. He is in Goloka Vrindavan. We have seen pictures about him, and now the curtain opens and we see him on the altar as a worshipable Lord. No? We have some hint, some idea about him from having heard about him and surrounding ourselves with pictures, deities, etc., which remind us of him. But now, from this initial hearing or initial knowledge, it's very important to enter into a relationship with him. Just like a person who understands, I'm in trouble, I have this cancerous growth in my near my liver, I must do something. He will not be satisfied to just have heard about a good doctor. He will have to make a good relationship with him. He will have to phone there. Hare Krishna is the phone number of Krishna. This is how Prabhupada said it. Huh? He will, yes, have to make a relationship. So my dear devotees, it's time to place your phone call. It's the high time to place your phone call to Krishna. Nityananda.
Yes.
No, you're from the Pandava Sena, so don't take it seriously. No, I'm joking. Of course, I take it seriously. It's high time to make your phone call. It's high time to get in contact and become aware of the relationship which you have forgotten because of this inner darkness which is giving us problems. Prabhupada writes about this: by the practice of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting, the impure heart of a conditioned soul is purified, and thus he can understand his eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So by this chanting, you get some understanding. Krishna, in the truest sense, if I'm perfectly honest, if I give up all my other attempts to master my life without you, at that time I know it's only you and no one else which I have to contact. Unless, my dear devotees, you come to this level in your chanting, you are only chanting yes, shadow. It's not yet the real thing. I had yesterday a very eye-opening conversation with a devotee who has deep insights into the workings of the mind. And he has described on the basis of authorized scriptures how most of the time our concepts are not the reality. I've just written, you know, nowadays one is on Instagram. Faith is what remains when your concepts have been shattered and blown to the wind. This is the Krishna consciousness is not a concept, an idea. It is a relationship, my dear devotees. And here Bhaktivinoda Thakur says to us, or Haridas Thakur says to us, as long as someone does not understand his relationship with Krishna, the individual soul will have to take shelter of Namabhas, only the shadow of the holy name. It's not the real thing. I always give this in my lectures. Some of you must be tired of this point, but I repeat it here because repetition is necessary. Imagine this morning, because we are poor in Radhadesh, we could only prepare one plate of prasadam. We would install a lamp next to this one plate of prasadam, and we would tell everyone to serve themselves from the shadow of the meal. We couldn't cook more, so there's a shadow, apples, bananas, nuts, cereal, and so on is there in the shadow. We say, take the shadow. Shadow is also there. No, shadow is there. You would not be nourished. Many devotees have this problem. They have taken the shadow of the holy name, the name which is nice music, the name which is connected with nice rhythms, which is with good melodies, but they have not really come to the level of addressing the Lord in a relationship. My Lord, I am yours. I think we all do this when there is misery. They say in Germany, misery is the fastest chariot to God. In other words, when we suffer, we say, oh, I have to now turn to the Lord. But that's That's not so serious, you know. A relationship where you only come to someone when you are suffering. The person is like, do I always have to repair your broken life? Is this our relationship? You can have this from a doctor. This is not a friendly relationship. Friend means always a friend. In thick and thin, and happiness and distress, and on a regular basis, it must be there. So, my dear devotees, we should think about Krishna in a relationship. And this is what the verse tells us. It tells us how Krishna, really in the verse, implied in the verse, is Krishna's reaction. Krishna is immediately embracing someone to his heart who comes to him with this program. I want to be accepted. He says, one is immediately freed from the clutches of Maya if he seriously and sincerely says, my dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today I'm surrendering unto you. There is one telling example about this. It is happening in Krishna Leela. Kaliya, a great snaga, naga means snake, had actually made his camp in Vrindavan, and he had poisoned the river Jamuna. It was so poisonous that the water was boiling. And animals which drank the water were instantaneously killed. He was sitting there on the bottom of the Jamuna. Sanatana Goswami says he knew the mystical art of forming from water a palace. You know, it's somehow you get into the watery element and you take the the fluidity away from it, and it becomes firm, stable water which you can touch. So he had made a palace by using this magical ability and lived there at the bottom of the Jamuna. He had established himself, and he was boiling in envy. He was just brooding in envy. He was really very, very bound to envy. He could not think anything else than envy. He had made an offense against the devotee, and therefore the enviousness had materialized and had really held him in the grip. This is what happens when you make offenses against Vaishnavas. You develop an inner disposition which is not very favorable for spiritual life. So we know that when Krishna saw that his cows had been were lying dead on the bank of the Yamuna, he actually became very, very angry. We heard yesterday in the Krishna Katha, when Krishna saw his cows coming to him, they had smelled his beautiful fragrance. Do you remember what he did? He paid his respects to the cows. He loves them so much. He really, really paid his respects. Then he got up and he scratched their necks and their throats. And so when Krishna saw that his beloved cows had been totally how do you say, they had been killed by the poison of the Yamuna, he became very angry. First, actually, he cried, and his tears fell on the cows and revived them. They got up and, oops, what happened to us? His tears fell on his cowherd boys who had fainted when they saw the cows were dead. And they looked at each other and said, Krishna has done some magic. A moment ago the cows were dead and we were lying on the ground, but he's Krishna. And they laughed because nothing special for them. They live with miracles, because if you live with Krishna, you live with miracles. That is there. If you live in your Krishna consciousness and you have Krishna in your mind, you live with miracles. They will happen every second, something new. So, yes. Then Krishna was now really angry. And he got on a tree, jumped into the waters of the Yamuna, and subdued, eventually, Kaliya. He danced on his many hoods. He trampled them with all his strength. And finally, Kaliya understood, whoops, the one who's attacking me, the one who's now dancing on my hood, the one who is making this into a festival, is no one else than Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and barely breathing, coughing, he said, something which I think we all should say one day to Krishna, "Oh my Lord, it is so difficult to give up one's conditioned nature." It causes us to identify with that which is unreal. We all have a conditioned nature, and this conditioned nature forces us to identify with something that is unreal. And it's very, very hard to give that up. We are totally under the influence. Then he continued, "Look at me, my Lord. I'm a serpent. By nature, I'm bitter, envious, and angry. How can we possibly give this up on our own? But you are the omniscient Lord of the universe, and you can free us from our illusion. When will the time come when you," I'm speaking of you, yes, you, "come before Krishna and say to him, 'My Lord, I can now see it's so very, very hard for me to give up my conditioned nature, which blocks me, which keeps me from you. I'm sincerely repenting this. And it is this repentance of the conditioned soul who starts to cry tears." Yes, I'm serious. This is the price for this Krishna consciousness. Starts to cry tears before the Lord and says, "My Lord, so many long years I have forgotten you. I'm now turning to you. This, my dear devotees, is immediately melting the heart." And Krishna comes running as if he was only waiting for this one sentence to come from you. "I have forgotten you. My conditioned nature is so hard. Today I'm turning to you." That is the mystery of bhakti. My dear devotees, I have a surprise to you. You please stay one moment awake for this. The Lord's response is given. He says, it is my vow. Krishna has made a vow. Vow. That if one only once, you have heard it correctly, one time only is enough. If one only once seriously surrenders unto me, saying, my dear Lord, enough is enough. From this day I am yours. And prays to me for courage. I shall immediately award courage to that person. And he will always remain safe from that time on. My dear devotees, I have thought about this very deeply. The scriptures say sacred. The literal translation is on, is once, one time. One singular utterance. If it is really coming from the repentant heart, is enough to convince Krishna, yes, this person is mine, I give him the courage to go through his obstacles gracefully and come to me. This is the power of bhakti. Think about this power of bhakti. And then think about, are you ready to say this only one time? I know one devotee from America. He is coming from a Muslim background. He said to me that in his... Was he from America? He lives now in America. He's from Iran. Iran. Iran means Persia. And he said to me that he had he had studied Islam, but he became a modern person, and he knew that there is one utterance in Islam which you say where you surrender totally to the Lord. And when you say it, you should mean it. You should not go back on this. And if you say this, then the Lord accepts you. The same is actually here. It's very surprising. Only one time, if you really mean it, your whole life of experience is behind it, and you say, enough is enough. I don't wish to live external in my Krishna consciousness any longer. I'm tired of this half-baked spirituality. I want to become a real devotee. Then, if it is coming from a sincere place, the Lord accepts it. But most of us are like the Augustinus, Saint Augustinus. Saint Augustinus said, "My Lord, make me chaste, but not just now. When I'm old, you know, some time of enjoyment should be there. Now and after that is finished, I will come before your door." That's the philosophy of most of us. Yes, and that's why we suffer from not so much a relationship, of a broken relationship. So, my dear devotees, coming before Krishna in your japa and say, my dear Lord, I'm really only yours. I only need you. Please accept me in your service. The Lord's ears will perk up. It will come like this. I'm not doing this any longer. I don't want to be photographed in the lecture. Then the Lord says, you are mine. I accept you. Now the amazing thing is the Lord's psychology, or why do we say this is not a good way to say it. The Lord's thinking is, this devotee is trying to surrender to me. He is saying this, my Lord, I'm yours. But due to his bad association, he has also some material desires. But Krishna says, this is not a problem for me. Krishna says, if one engages in my transcendental loving service, but at the same time wants the opulence of material enjoyment, he's very, very foolish. Krishna says, yes, he can say like this. Indeed, he's just like a person who gives up ambrosia. Ambrosia means nectar, to drink now poison. But I'm not like this. Since I am very intelligent, why should I give this fool material prosperity? Instead, I shall induce him to take the nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet and make him forget illusory material enjoyment. And then Krishna Das Kaviraj, he actually quotes a verse from the Bhagavatam. He says, whenever Krishna is requested to fill one's desire, he undoubtedly does so, but he does not award anything which, after being enjoyed, will cause one to petition him again and again to fulfill further desires. When one has other desires but engages in the Lord's service, Krishna forcibly gives one shelter at his lotus feet, where one will forget all other desires. Can I tell you a personal example? Will you not spread it on the internet? I'm talking something confidential now, which no one should know about Sachinanda Swami. See, I like to travel. Don't tell it to anyone. Actually, oops, it's now on the internet. When you say something, no problem. I can tell the world what is openly in my heart. I like to travel. I was living on an island where I could only go a few steps left and a few steps right. That was all. And I've developed Icelandic claustrophobia. You know, I needed to break out and go into the world after some time. So I liked very much to travel. I had dreams as a child of traveling to Afghanistan and India, and why not the moon, you know, if they take me in the astronautic program, and so on. This is my condition. One of the conditions. And when I came to Krishna consciousness, I said, my Lord, make me travel. And I have traveled everywhere. I have traveled to Tibet. I have traveled to South India. I have traveled to North India. I have traveled to America. I have traveled in tropic zones. I have seen alligators. I have seen lions in the desert. I was face to face with an angry leader of a camel herd, a male camel who was totally angry because I had relieved myself of nature's call in his celebrated eating place, you know. He was really angry. I have seen the world in and out, from an ant perspective, from an elephant perspective. And now I don't want to travel any longer. Whenever Krishna is requested to fill one's desire, he undoubtedly does so. Krishna has fulfilled it all. But he does not award anything which, after being enjoyed, will cause one to petition him again and again to fill further desires. I don't come any longer to Krishna. Krishna, let me travel Oh, I've traveled everything in this earth. Let me now join the astronautic program under the pretense of spreading Krishna consciousness on the moon. Why not? Krishna fulfills the desires, but in such a way that at the end one says, Krishna, now I only want you. This is the verse, Bhagavatam 5:19:27. Read it if you don't believe it yourself. It's there. It's in the Madhya Lila chapter 22. It's quoted in text 40. Krishna is so kind, in other words, if you approach him sincerely, although you are imperfect, although you may have material desires like traveling to Baluchistan or wherever, Krishna accepts you how like you are. That's a new experience for us, to be accepted like we are. Krishna accepts you like you are, and he gives you a taste which helps you to mature so that you can give up your anchors to this world and ultimately only pray to him. How do you feel about this? Isn't that wonderful? You must agree, Madhva. This is wonderful. You can be like you are. You can sport impressive sideburns if you wish. Not you, you don't have this, but... you can do. Krishna accepts you, and he purifies you more and more and more and more and more, so that you only want him at the end. This is the Lord. Oh, he's a friend. He looks at you like a bandhu, prana bandhu, a friend of the conditioned soul. And he's so mercifully inclined. And he only wants this one thing, that you learn to turn to him. That's all. And I think this is very important for us to understand. My dear devotees, this is the prerequisite. You would not turn to Krishna if you would think he doesn't accept me. Only if you know he accepts me, I can turn to him and say, my Lord, please accept me. Then the Lord is there. And I have seen this especially in the holy name. I like to tell this experience. There was a time when I would regularly visit the Mayapur Kirtan Mela, and sometimes, daily actually, I was leading a kirtan with many, many devotees. But because the atmosphere in Mayapur, atmosphere means it's very humid, I'm always getting really ill in Mayapur because of the humidity which is there. Heat and humidity. And I remember this one kirtan, the devotees were all there, but my voice was not there. I was so tired, I could not even sing the Maha Mantra properly. I was slurring the words. And I remember I prayed to the Lord, please, my Lord, I want to do this service. The devotees have requested me to sing. I want to do this for you, but kindly accept me. Kindly take care of this kirtan. I am not in the physical and mental position at the moment. And I remember how, when it came from my heart, Krishna made this kirtan the sweetest kirtan I have experienced in my own life. So this turning to Krishna as you chant the holy name, as you chant your japa, as you chant your kirtan, saying, "My Lord, I don't think I can chant on my own. I need your kind glance upon me. Please accept me." This will help that your so-called chanting becomes real chanting, that the shadow turns into the substance. This relationship-oriented chanting. I would like to leave you with a quotation, then I will take two questions. Haridas Thakur, this is from Haridas Thakur. As long as sambandha tat vera jnana jyavat nohoyo tavat se nama basa jivera ashraya. As long as someone does not understand his relationship with Krishna, this means that you have a relationship with Krishna, then the individual soul will take shelter of nama basa, only the shadow of the holy name. Today in the workshop, we will try to present from scriptures and our acharyas some very good processes which will help us to enter into a relationship with Krishna while we chant. So good. Do you have any question regarding this? Hari Prasad. Yes. Have you understood the question? Yeah? It's a little intellectual, isn't it? Yes. The question, Hari Prasad says, and I will translate it in simple European English. There are two factors. My effort to please Krishna, that is here, and then this is another factor, Krishna's grace, his descending mercy. Now, how do I know how these two relate to each other? Is that true? We can do like this. In a general way, this is answered by Parikshit Maharaj to his mother Uttara. They speak about this in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He says, we must give our best effort to show Krishna that we really want his mercy. This making an effort is a sign which we give to Krishna. Krishna, I really want it. But you cannot say that the effort will necessarily force Krishna. It's not that the one who gets that Krishna's mercy is dependent on your effort. He sometimes gives his mercy to very, very unlikely candidates like Ajamil, like Gajendra the elephant, like the hunter. And so on. But still, your duty is to give, to show a great amount of sincerity in your effort. No? That is how you show Krishna this. But you should always know Krishna remains totally independent and free to do whatever he pleases, and he will remain the independent Lord of your life. Try your best, and the rest is up to Krishna. This is my formula in life.
So that's actually very helpful. I guess it becomes confusing. How do I evaluate if I'm giving my best? I may feel I'm giving my best, but I'm still not getting the result because Krishna is independent. So does that mean I need to do something more, or do I just need to be patient?
Ah, Krishna consciousness is always a mixture of almost paradoxical qualities, and enthusiasm needs to be there, but then there needs to be patience. Your best effort needs to be there, but there needs to be patience also. You're a young man. Young men are like young men, which is necessary, you know. But see, when devotees become older and become grannies, you know, real old, they know, you cannot always analyze everything. I have a god brother. He says the first prerequisite, he says, is to understand Krishna is inconceivable. You can't put him into your thought systems and so on. That's the very first understanding. Krishna is achintya, inconceivable. And we were always trying to use our intellect to make him conceivable, or to conceive of him and his workings and so on. But he's inconceivable. You know, how will you understand good devotees' misery? You know, how will you understand that there's a wonderful devotee in England who has a serious case of brain tumor? How will you understand this? Has he not served enough? Has he not been serious enough? Of course not. He's our example in everything, and so on. You cannot understand this. And you know, we have a problem with the silence of God. That we try, but then there is nothing coming. Krishna, there seems to be no response to this. Where was the Lord when so many of his believers, Christians, were killed? Where was the Lord when the mothers turned to the Lord and said, "Save my child from smallpox, please." And there was only silence, a numbing silence. We have difficulties to live with the silence of God. But I think by now the silence of God means he is just there next to us. He is there always. That's the best way to think about the Lord. Isn't he omnipotent and all knowledge? No, he's on our side, patiently going with us through our life. He's there, but he may choose to speak or not to speak. No? All this time when we think he's silent or doesn't know about it, he's just there watching us with his merciful eyes. That's how I go about with the silence of God, Krishna. So, it is 1 minute to 9 o'clock. I thank you very much. I hope there was something in it for you to pick up. The idea of today, Sambandha, enter into your relationship. You are an eternal servant of Krishna. You are eternally his. And may he give you a wonderful day in your kirtan and our holy name retreat. I wish you all the best. Now we have prasadam for all of you. And we will see each other at 11 o'clock. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.